Baseball gets off to an undefeated start. Basketball runs into a red wall, unfortunately. But track continues to dominate. Hello and welcome to episode 32 of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, except for the snow that's starting to fall outside and the negative temperature. I mean, it's hard to be too upset when we have sports starting off so well.
I'm still upset, though. It was so cold. It's like so cold, I woke up mad. Yeah. I was outside and I just got mad.
I just woke up sad.
I'm pissed.
I stepped outside and I was like, this is sad. It was warm 2 weeks ago. It was 62
weeks ago. It was decent enough 2 weeks ago, and now I just have this anger and I don't have anywhere to direct it. I'm bottling it up until something explodes.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, once you're back in Texas, that explodes.
Well, when I'm back in Texas, my anger melts away.
Probably.
But talking about anger and frustration and things we don't like the cold, men's basketball ran into a red wall, as did the women, but we'll get to that in a second. Men's basketball, sitting now 19-5 on the season, 12-4 in the GPAC, still number 13. We're waiting for a new poll to come out. They had that bye week, that like mini bye week where they didn't play Wednesday, so their only game was Saturday at number 16 Northwestern, and they got it taken to them.
A little bit. It's kind of like the other side of that previous meeting they had. Almost exactly the same score flipped.
17-point loss, 70-8 at 16 Northwestern. So a bit of drama getting into this one personnel-wise. They have an All-American, Northwestern does.
Yep.
Don't crucify me here. All-American Alex Van Kalbeek?
Yeah, something like that.
V-A-L-B-E-E-K, for those taking notes at home. He was out, and he's, 6'6", he's a junior, kind of runs a lot of the offense.
He wasn't in that game.
He was out.
So you'd think it would have been...
So you'd think, I don't know. The last time we played him, just reading Jake Knabel's article, and I didn't go specifically into the box scores, but this Alex guy, we had a good plan for him when he was in Seward, and he kind of stunk it up compared to him. Like, he's an All-American.
Right.
So he's out, and this is something Ben Limbach interviewed after the game, and he said this is something we weren't expecting. We were not expecting Alex to be out. So what does that mean? That led to more playing time for Alex's younger brother, Jesse Van Kalbeck.
A freshman.
And he had the best game of his season.
Mm-hmm.
Best game of his season. Him and another freshman on their team, Jalen Langley, they both dropped 22 apiece.
And yeah, I remember in that first game, Jalen, he's one of their best shooters. He was pulling up from all over the court, and he was probably their best player in that first game, and it looks like he was one of their top guys in this one as well.
Really indicative of how the game went. You mentioned he's a great shooter. Northwestern, 55% from the field, 38% from three. You'll take that 8 days a week. Yeah. Concordia, on the other hand, terrible night shooting the ball. 44% from the field, 23% from three. Ooh. And when you've got a couple of guys that were hot, like Jesse was and like Jalen was, it's hard to overcome that when those are your shooting percentages.
Definitely.
So that's a tough one. That ends the 12-game win streak. So there goes Doguary. Was that what we
were
calling it?
You want to call it that. We had Dogtober. Dogtober. Doguary.
So Doguary is dead, and there will be no Debuary. February dog.
Dog February.
But
we don't even need to come up with a name because it's not a thing.
You know what? Thank you, men's basketball team. That would have been hard to throw together. So there will not be a Dog February.
Nope.
But they will hope to get back into the win column. The next game up is going to be Hastings. It's another road contest, back-to-back road games. But you're playing Hastings, which is no Northwestern. They're 3-20 overall, 2-14 in the GPAC. This tip-off is going to be 7:45. I believe this is Wednesday.
Yep.
Concordia won their first meeting against Hastings 101-82 in Seward. In Saturday's action, Hastings is coming off a pretty bad loss to Morningside, 69-58. The Broncos are situated near the bottom of the league standings and are, not doing too hot.
Yeah, but Hastings is always one of those teams that seems to at least score a lot against us.
We gave
up 80 points to them last time. We were just able to put up 101 to kind of overcome that.
But again, it's a nice get right game, but you can't look past them. We say this every time, can't look past them. But hoping to get back in the win column for sure. It's just it sucks that it happened at all. It really sucks that there was Northwestern.
Definitely,
it was the Red Raiders.
But you know what? Basketball, it's hard to string together 13 wins in a row. You're no going to have an off day.
No doubt.
They had that off day. Hopefully that's just the one. And then they're going to be, they got it out of their system. They're good moving forward. I think 12 wins in a row in any league is kind of nuts for basketball.
Yeah. No, I think it's insane. And I just, I don't know. Cause I, when I first got here last year, I transferred in as a junior and all the talk was Doan is the big rival, right?
Right. Like, in most sports.
Like that's where the history is. In my 2 years, I haven't seen it. It's been all us, and it's been all Northwestern.
Yeah,
like that's the big one.
Because I mean, football, you guys usually beat Doan pretty big. Soccer, we beat Doan.
We handle Doan. Hopefully, there's no Tigers listening to the podcast.
Basketball, but, we usually beat Doan pretty handedly.
Stat from the Jake Knabel article: this was our first loss. Before this loss, it was 10 out of 13 went our way versus Northwestern.
Interesting.
So yeah, I mean it's flipped a little bit, and then obviously you've got volleyball. Volleyball, that's always must-see TV. Right.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I guess I've been here for, this is my second year as well, and it has always been Northwestern.
It's yeah.
The one playing us close in all sports,
yeah.
Giving us trouble.
So don't step it up, or Northwestern, please start sucking a bit more so we can make it a bit more one.
We make it the old rivalry again, I want to experience this.
Yeah. But talking about Northwestern, wasn't wrestling at Northwestern for their duel, or no?
So
am I wrong?
A little bit wrong. So they were in Mitchell, South Dakota.
I'll take partial credit.
But they were competing against Northwestern.
There we go.
So it was the GPAC Day of Duels. So three different duel competitions, all on February 8th, so that Saturday. The first one was against Northwestern, second one against Briar Cliff, and third one against Waldorf. We ended up winning all three of those. And
dude,
if you remember our last podcast, or the one 2 times ago, we mentioned that wrestling coach, he doesn't think that the duel is even their best format. Got lots of depth on this team.
Yeah.
But we were able to go out and get three wins. And I'm just going to, because, you know, there's only 8 or 9 competitors for each matchup. So I'll just read through whoever won their matches in each different set of competition. So against Northwestern, we ended up winning 29-16. This was the closest one of them all. We had Bryce Carlin win his at 133. We had Creighton Bauman, of course, win his at 149. We had Cole Price win his 157. We had Tommy Wentz at 165. We had Barrett Brandt at 174. Garrett Mosser at 184. And then, yeah, so that those were our point getters against Northwestern. Against Briar Cliff, we ended up winning 6-41. We had Cal Price win once again. We had Dominic Flynn win at 149 this time. Then we had Cole Price win at 157, Brent Ward at 165, Barrett Brandt at 174, Hunter Weimer at 184, Torrance Keene at 197, and then Mason Garcia at 285. And then in that final match against Waldorf, we ended up winning 38-6.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so once again, only taking one loss throughout the entire competition.
That's insane.
We had Bryce Carlin once again win, got the pin in that one. Lots of these are going to be pins.
Yeah,
we had Cal Price win, we had Dominic Flynn win, we had Francisco Mendez at 157 win, we had Tommy Wentz win, we had Barrett Brandt win, then we had Tegan Champel and Mason Garcia both win by a forfeit. So Waldorf had no competitors at their weight, so we get the automatic 6 points.
Wow, keep it up.
Yeah, so three pretty convincing wins there. That'll give them a lot of confidence going into the GPAC Wrestling Championships. They have an off week this week, but then on February 21st and February 22nd, the Bulldog Wrestling team will be traveling to Hastings, Nebraska to meet up with all the other GPAC schools. And that's kind of the big opportunity for everyone to qualify for nationals. So at that wrestling championship, you'll have the team competition and the team scoring to give us our, you know, GPAC wrestling champion. But then that doesn't actually do anything for qualifications. Your team could win and you could still not make it.
Okay. Yeah.
National qualifying is exclusively individual. So your team could get last place and you could still make it if you believe it's first and second in the conference make it. It might be third as well. I think some of it also has to do with wild cards and all that.
Yeah.
But for sure, if you win, you're making nationals.
Okay.
So,
shooting
good luck
win
to them. We will, of course, bring this back up next week in the podcast episode to kind of preview a little bit more of that.
Sure.
But solid week in wrestling.
Solid week in wrestling. Also, solid week in baseball. They got off to a hot start to their season Now, this is kind of interesting. So apparently they do this. This is the opening series they have to begin every regular season is in Oklahoma City. And you play Oklahoma City twice and you play another university twice. Or you play another university once, rather. In the previous 2 years, we were 1-5 in these games. We have not gotten off to a hot start. And mind you, in the previous 2 years, these have been squads that have won 40 games apiece.
Yeah, we've been no slouches these last couple years.
Very good baseball teams. And, you're wondering what to expect. Baseball comes into the season. They're ranked number 20, coming off the GPAC championship, trip to the Nationals to play in the tournament. But this tournament always gives us trouble in OKC, so we'll see. The first game was quite a doozy. We ended up winning 11-7 versus number 23-ranked Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And it came down to the wire. It came down to they're only playing 7-inning games because of doubleheader. We end up not having the lead. We get 3 runs in the 7th, and they go and we put ourselves up by 2. They tie it in the bottom of the 7th, but then the top of the 8th, which is extra innings, we get 4 runs. We end up putting it away. Obviously, in an 11-7 game, you're going to have offensive explosion.
Right.
Like to highlight Jimmy Blumberg, shortstop. 4 RBIs.
Wow.
Good game from him. Alex Draper out in right field. He went 2 for 4 with 3 RBIs. So spreading the love around there. It is just obviously a good offensive performance all around.
Yep.
And it contrasts with their second game of the day. This was this past Friday. They go and they play Bellevue. Bellevue is ranked even higher than Oklahoma City University. They're number 15th in the nation. And we pick up a 2-1 win.
Tight one.
We'll talk about the offense first because there ain't much. The Bulldogs picked up 1 in the first. Jaden Jordal hit a RBI double. And then we got another run in the second. Jimmy Blumberg again. He hits a sac fly. That's all that was needed.
Yep.
Because coming back is Alex Johnson, a name that I hadn't personally heard before. But thanks to the great reporting of Jake Knable, you go read his article about it. Alex Johnson, kind of been awaiting to see him on the mound for a long time now. Missed a good chunk of 2023 with an injury. Missed all of last season with an injury.
Gotcha.
And it didn't specify what exactly the injury was, but, you know, you got to imagine pitcher or something with the elbow, maybe Tommy John, UCL.
Yep.
That's just, you know, going out on a limb. Alex Johnson, highly anticipated debut. What does he go out and do? 4 2/3 innings, 1 hit, 1 earned run. He only walks 1 and he strikes out 9.
Oh my gosh.
He faced 16 batters. He struck out 9 of them.
That's
so
nuts.
Phenomenal pitcher.
Was this his first career start?
I don't want to go out that far. I just know that in the Jake Knable article, that's Alex Johnson.
Alex Johnson, okay.
And in the Jake Knable article is he missed 2024 and he if we can get continued starts like this, just huge, obviously. That's a big K game in only just over four innings pitched,
yep.
Getting 9 Ks. So really good to see that. Really good to see him out there. I believe he's a grad student.
Yes, so it looks like he made some starts as a freshman, made 14 starts as a sophomore, then was out. He had 3 starts as a junior in 2023 because of the injury. And then, he said he had a redshirt injury year last year, which is why he's able to come back for a 5th year and is – it's paying off for him, it looks like.
Some on the spot reporting there from Kai Ulbrich. But yeah, so, you know, you got to imagine maybe it's an elbow deal. But huge. And obviously, good on Coach Ryan Dupick to get, you know, a lot of these times it's a struggle getting these guys to come back.
Right.
You know, and there's not a lot of, you know, you're wondering to yourself, I haven't played ball in a year and a half. What's the ROI here? You know, I'm going to get back on the mound. Will I even start? But that's good. That's a good job on the coach to get a guy like that. Get him back. Not only get him back, and he's immediately producing. That's a huge...
Get him his confidence back as well. You'd imagine to be a little shot after
this is the number
having to take 2 years off.
Precisely. And this is the number 15 team in the country. Like, the Bellevue.
No pressure.
No schmucks, right? Opening weekend, and he just goes out in there and he shoves. So that's nice to see Alex Johnson. Last game of the weekend, this was the one game that they had on Saturday. So you liked a little bit of offense. Game one was more your forte. You like a pitcher's duel. You got game two. If you want them both, if you want good pitching, good offense, you should have tuned into Game 3. We're playing Oklahoma City University again. Again, number 23 team in the nation. We win 15-3. A little bit of, obviously, you got a lot of offense here. I'm going to go through, read some names. The Bulldogs, there was four Bulldogs that had two hits apiece. Brad Holick went 2 for 3. Bronx Lewis, first off, caveat, that's an all-time baseball
name. What
a name. That is a top five baseball habit name. Like, if I wanted my kid to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame, I'm naming him Bronx. Good stuff. He goes 2 for 3. Tanner Tompkins goes 2 for 3. Ty Nikolajczak, we recognize his name from last season. Mm-hmm. He goes 2 for 3. Jaden Quinn goes 2 for 4. All nine position players who started reached base safely at least once. That includes Holick, who drew 2 walks. Draper walked a couple of times. And you've got steals, too. We were running all over the place. We had 4 steals. Two of the steals coming courtesy of Jaden Jordal. Mm-hmm. Awesome all-around game. And then you mentioned it's a 15-3 game. They only scored 3 runs. And big shout-out to Christian Gutierrez. Gutierrez was a huge starter for us last season. He ended up having one of the better records last season. It was 8-2, 8-3. Went out and pitched to like a 3.6 ERA, and he gets off to a hot start. He had a good strikeout number on the day too. So all around, you love what you're seeing from the Bulldogs on the diamond.
Really solid performance all around. You mentioned the offense and the defense, both definitely coming together after that first game. You know, but gave up a lot of runs in the first. In the first game, but really cleaned that up in the second and third.
Go to the box score on that third game.
The third game, okay.
Yeah, I want to see Christian Gutierrez's line to put where he had his pitching numbers, because this was a guy last season who just shoved for us, and you've got him. Okay, here we go. We found it. Christian Gutierrez, just to get this on the record, also 4 1/3 inning pitched, 3 hits, no earned run, and he struck out 8.
Wow.
Face 17 batters, struck out 8. So a phenomenal, phenomenal weekend for the pitching staff.
Definitely.
And good stuff from those guys. They're next out. They're taking this week off, and then next weekend they will be in Missouri. Can you see on the schedule there?
Yes, they will be in Joplin, Missouri.
Joplin.
The weekend of this Janus. Weekend actually, they've got Dakota State University on February 15th at 11 a.m. They've got Mission University at 4 p.m. on the 15th. Then on the 16th, they have Graceland University at 11, and then William Penn University at 1:30.
Back-to-back doubleheaders.
And those are, yes, back-to-back doubleheaders, different locations for both. So we'll be at the Joe Becker Stadium on the first day, and then we'll be at Joplin High School for the second game.
Yeah, and those should be televised, whether or not you have to pay for them. Go check out the CUNE Bulldogs baseball website. Jake and Abel will have all the info up on there. But yeah, that's going to be good stuff. Expecting a lot out of this baseball team this season.
Definitely. They've set the standard pretty high so far. Let's see if they can keep it up.
Yeah. And then same thing also, we noticed this last week with the softball. They don't have a home game until like forever. It's like March 28th.
Let's see when the first one is. First game at Plum Creek Park is going to be March 28th against Waldorf. So month and a half till the first home game.
That's crazy. And then the same benefits we discussed with softball of you got more home games towards the end of your season.
Down the stretch, less travel when you're fatigued.
Yeah, a little fatigued. So doing good for baseball. You know who else is doing good? You know who else is always doing good?
Who else is doing good?
Track and field is always doing good. Who is consistently having a better time, our track and field team or our volleyball team?
It's close. It's hard to argue with the volleyball team. But it's hard to argue with the track.
But didn't track and field win it, like, go all the way in nationals?
They've gotten, in the last 20 years they have.
Yeah.
Both the men's and the women's team, I believe, have gotten at least runner-up at nationals.
Famous good time havers are the Concordia track and field team.
Extremely consistent.
What were they up to this past week?
They were up, actually, here in Seward for the Concordia Indoor Invitational. So that was all on Friday, February 7th. There was also a meet in Lincoln with a bunch of the D1 schools that we sent some of our best competitors to. We didn't have anyone end up in the top 3 for that. We had some 5th and 6th place finishers, which is extremely impressive given that it was mostly D1s and then the top NAIA and D2.
Yeah, that's good
stuff. So we had some competitors placing pretty highly in that, but we'll go through our top finishers from the Concordia Invitational. Freshman Easton Fries, he been amazing all season long. He was perfect in the 60-meter hurdles this week. He won both the prelims and the final. His final time was 8:27. Fries was also part of that men's 4x4 relay team that got first place. So it was Fries, junior Liam Fagan, sophomore Matthew Wing, and freshman Perry Chadwick. They won the race in 3:23:33. They also ran a very similar time at the Lincoln meet the next day. Sophomore Trinity Tools was in the 400. She's been continuing her excellence in that event. She won the race in 48:44. She beat second place by 0.3 seconds, so pretty close one.
Yeah, tight.
It was a good day for mid-distance on the women's side. Junior Josie Noble had a 600-meter race that came down to the wire. So timing technology was needed to get the winner in this one.
My
gosh. It was not obvious to the naked eye, but Noble came out on top by 0.05 of a second.
That is 0.00. Is that the third?
0.005.
Oh, my goodness.
So on the normal results, it'll just come up as...
They have, the same time?
It'll be, 23.55 seconds.
Yeah.
In a 200 or something.
Yeah.
So they have to go to the next decimal that they don't usually go to.
She stick her tongue out like Lightning McQueen?
I think it was something similar to that.
Okay.
She jumped over a downed car
and
stuck her tongue out.
Okay,
So her official final time was 140.955. So going all the way to the
second place, getting 940.960.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then freshman Johnny Jerkin in our favorite event. Can you guess what it is?
It is. Oh, is it steeplechase or are we going to do race?
Steeplechase indoor.
Race walk.
The race walk.
All right. So Johnny process Jerkin, some elimination.
He's been killing it all season long. He once again crushed the NAIA National A standard in the 3K race walk. He got a meet record. 13 minutes, 27.23 seconds, which is 55 seconds ahead of the national A standard.
That's a lot of walking.
A lot of walking.
13 minutes.
Almost 2 miles.
13 minutes of 2 mile. That's a 2 mile. So is it even a walk? That's like a good pace.
He's doing I think if you do
2 miles in 13 minutes?
If you convert it, he's walking 7 minute miles.
He's walking a set. That's not, how does he do that?
Very quickly is how he does it. Shift those hips.
Oh my gosh.
It probably hurt after a little bit.
I would imagine.
Hurts a little more than... It's probably a different kind of hurt than running it.
I feel like running is more biologically compatible.
Probably. You're not really meant to walk
quickly. God didn't make us like that.
Uh-uh. But Johnny Jerkin's trying to make it that way, and he's doing a pretty good job at it, apparently.
Do your thing, Johnny.
Yeah, keep it up. another person keeping it up really high in the air is Junior Mason Ostermeyer. In the pole vault.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Right now, he has the top mark in the country of 16 feet, 4¾ inches. He didn't get quite that number this week. He vaulted 16 feet, 3/4 of an inch, which, while it's not his best, was still a foot and a half better than second place.
We want better.
We want 17 feet.
We want
17 feet.
Also, sorry to interrupt you, but before we get too far off it,
please.
Johnny Jerkin, he got the BAM Athlete of the Week.
BAM! BAM Johnny Jerkin.
For the race walk.
Love that.
So he got it, and then you'll probably get this, but Abby Wogelmuth got it for the girls.
She's been very impressive all season long. Yeah. She's just a little bit further down on this list.
There you go.
But we've got Aaron Spivey, a junior, who got a PR, and he won the triple jump. 45 feet and 1.5 inches. Put him just 1 inch ahead of second place, so a pretty tight one there. Senior Abby Wolgamuth, she destroyed the NAIA National A standard once again. She's gotten it multiple times this season already. But the A standard is 17.24 meters, and she threw 19.24 meters.
What's she chucking again? Is this shot put?
This is weight throw.
Weight throw, okay. Yeah, goodness gracious.
So she beat it by 6 feet, pretty much. So
it's a whole dude. A
little bit nuts, yeah. A whole person.
Yeah, she beat it by a man, a grown man.
She threw a whole extra Mason Ostermeyer, almost.
Yeah. Wow.
Very impressive.
Good for her.
One of the impressive second place finishes was the distance medley. And this has been one I love keeping track of this one. It's just a fun one to watch. You started off with a 1,200. Then you go to a 400, an 800, and then a 1,600. So, I'm actually going to pull up the official results to get the times
this
for all
is,
of these.
This is the one Coach was telling us about, where it's like, you can afford to have, not that any of these runners are bad, but like, you want your best runner on the longest one.
Right.
Because that's where you can make up the most time.
Exactly. And they, it was perfection on this one.
Really?
So they finally had someone to run against. They had three other teams, I believe, in this one. So the previous times they've run it, it's just been them.
Doing time trials.
So not great for the competition factor. Not great for pushing yourself super hard. But this one,
there was a few more elbows you got to get out of the way.
Exactly. We didn't end up winning this one. We lost to Doan by half a second. So maybe that Doan rivalry is well and truly alive.
In track distance medley,
yep.
Doan is competitive.
But we got the NAIA national standard by half a second.
Okay.
So, Trey Robertson, 308 in the 1200. Lucas Corwin, 50.8 in the 400. Justin Sherman, 157.8 in the 800. That's a 2 second PR for him.
Yeah.
In any 800, even
yeah.
outdoor.
Yeah.
So, and then Vaughn Hendrickson with a blistering 416 mile.
Oh my goodness.
That's nuts. That's nutty.
I remember when the Olympics were in Rio de Janeiro, and mm-hmm. that was the first time a guy got sub four. Was it? Am I lying?
I think you're lying.
But still, I remember that's like
it's extremely impressive for any college athlete.
Yeah.
The pros are running like 350s.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
So he's like 25 seconds off a pro.
Like, if you put him in there in the Olympics, I don't think he'd get last. I think he could beat out like a Trinidad and Tobago.
If you threw him in like the first round.
Yeah. He could beat a Turks and Caicos runner.
You'd think so.
Like one
I'd
of the
like to see that actually.
One of the small Caribbean towns.
Have you seen the one where they put the
countries?
One of those island countries.
Yeah.
They threw someone into the 100 and she ran like a 20-second.
Yeah, dude, we would not get last.
Yeah. Von Hendrickson
we
would not get last.
We before. Would not get last, and he should get a medal for that.
I'm sure we can verify that, but we won't.
No.
We'll just
that's
keep
above
saying
our, that's above our pay would've. Grade. It makes us feel better just to say it.
Exactly. But some other second-place finishers, we had Isabel Salters, who got second in the 60-meter hurdles. She ran that in 9.11 seconds. Trey Robertson, he got second in his open event. He ran the 3K. He didn't walk this one, but he did run it in a very fast 8:52.17. Then we had Miles Sad in the men's long jump. He got second place, 6.8 meters in that one. Then we had in the women's shot put, we had Abigail Gerber, very familiar name to those who are frequent listeners of the podcast. She threw 14.2 meters, which is well clear of the NAIA national standard.
Yep.
She beat it by almost half a foot there. So no issue getting that for her. And then our men's distance medley also got second, and too many third place finishers to talk about.
Yeah, hats off.
Pass off to our first and second place and third place. You're almost there.
They're in our thoughts.
In our thoughts and prayers.
But get second and we'll vocalize our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Unless you all do really bad next time, in which case we'll talk about third placers. But we're hoping we won't talk about third placers.
I don't forecast us talking about third placers very often.
I don't
this season.
Think we will.
That's all for
track and field. But just next up on the schedule for them, we've got the GPAC Indoor Track and Field Championships in Mitchell, South Dakota. Lots of South Dakota action going on.
Yeah.
The last week and this week. That is going to be this weekend, so that's going to start on Friday the 14th. At 1 p.m. is when a lot of the field and multi-events are going to start. And then the Saturday, so February 15th, it's going to start bright and early at 9 a.m. for a lot of those running events. So that'll be the last chance for our athletes to qualify for nationals. Obviously, you know, a lot of them have qualified time-wise already, but yep.
for those that haven't, they're getting up against the clock here.
For sure. And then looking down the barrel a little bit, we've got the national championships on the 27th and 28th. I guess they're skipping a few days in there. On the schedule it says February 20th. Oh wait, no, there's only 28 days in February. Silly me.
Last time I checked. Unless it's a leap year.
Is it a leap year? No, it's not.
Is it a leap year?
I don't think it is. So,
well, I mean, if we don't know half of the stats we're talking about when it comes to miles, I doubt we'll know if it's a leap year.
Probably not. But for whatever reason, they're having the indoor championships in Gainesville, Florida, where it's nice outside.
Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out.
You'd think they could just put the indoor one somewhere cold, like
Gainesville. So is it at the actual University of Florida?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. It doesn't say on here.
That's where they're at, right? I think that's Gainesville. That's where the Gators are.
That makes sense.
Home of Tim Tebow.
Maybe they will.
We'll have to see.
Obviously not as nice as Walt's human performance complex.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But moving on from track
talking about we'll have to see what happens with women's basketball. They're in quite the pickle, quite the conundrum. They're 13-11 overall now, 8-10 in the GPAC, and that means they lost against Northwestern. Again, they had the mini bye week, didn't play Wednesday. This is the only game they played. It was on Saturday.
Also experienced the red wall.
The red wall, quite formidable. And this one, I mean, this was, again, a close one. One that was so close that it, you know, leaves a bad taste in your mouth, just like the previous Northwestern win. Like, you win both these Northwestern games if you're the women's team, and this season looks a lot different.
Definitely.
However.
And those Dort games as well.
Yeah, right? So this one ended up being 82-73. Now, here are some illuminating stats. Go on a field trip with me. With the Frizz, no way. But here we go.
We're getting in the bus right now.
We're getting in the bus. Turnovers. So, okay. 82-73. Close to being a 10-point loss. That's usually like borderline. Double-digit loss. You don't want to see those. It's almost a blowout. It's not really a blowout. But there's a discrepancy in the final score that is not insignificant. How did we get here? Could it be the turnovers, Cohen? Well, maybe not. Concordia, we only turned the ball over 13 times. Northwestern turned the ball over 17 times.
Interesting.
Cohen, perhaps it's our three-point shooting that has been our bane in some games previously this season. I say to you, no. Concordia shot 36.8% from three. Northwestern,
solid number.
That's a good number. That's a hard-earned figure. Northwestern shot 30. We have the advantage there. Perhaps they were just too deadly in the paint. Perhaps they were, you know, hitting the whatever in the field. From the field, just general shooting percentage, very close. Concordia shot 44, Northwestern shot 46. Perhaps they had a quick whistle. Maybe this was it. They took a lot of trips to the charity stripe, and they made all their shots, and they beat us in a very disheartening way, but you can see how the final score got to be what the final score got to be. No. Concordia, 16 for 22, that's good for 73%. While Northwestern, they shot a bit more and they shot a bit better, but it wasn't crazy. They were 21 for 28 at 75%.
Well, Cohen, it seems like these numbers are all very equal.
Something isn't adding up here, right? Well, that's until we get to the rebounds. The Bulldogs had 24. The Red Raiders had 46.
Oh, no.
46 rebounds. Raylan Kelty led the team with 6 rebounds, and all of those were defensive. So if you want to dive into this a bit more, it's not just the rebounds, it's the nature of the rebounds.
Gotcha.
The name of the game was second chance points.
So we had 5 offensive rebounds
the
whole game.
Five. We had 18. 5 and they had 18. So a lot of those times when the shooting percentage is similar, they're just going to end up chucking a lot more shots. So that's how you get the final score.
Looks like just about 13 more shots.
13 more shots, and then, you know, that'll get you a 10-point deficit.
Yeah.
And then I think we came in. Raylan Kelty, obviously, you mentioned her. She led the team. She was 6 rebounds, all 6 defensive. McKenna Robbins came in. She off the bench, obviously, as she's been doing. And she's kind of like the rebound getter now.
Yep. I think she had the most rebounds per minute. So she had 15 minutes, 5 rebounds.
But two of those, two offensive.
Three defensive.
And like I said, that was, she had a plurality of our offensive rebounds with those two.
Yep.
So
she led the team in offensive rebounds with 2.
And if you got the box score pulled up,
I do.
I think Kendall had a decent game scoring.
Yes, she had 20 points actually in this one. One offensive rebound, 2 defensive. Had a good scoring day, dished out 2 assists, had 2 steals as well. Abby Kreiser had a great day for steals. She had 5.
Good for AK.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So this is becoming a storyline, so we'll mention it. This is something that also was given a mention in the Jake Knable article breaking down the game. It happened afterwards. Olsen says the team came out flat. And I think that's definitely evident. You come out after halftime, they ended up going, they get the lead back for the first time since they did in the first quarter, because they came out of halftime, went on a 13-2 run, right?
Yep.
But they came out flat. It, forgive me if I'm wrong, this feels like a sentiment that we've heard.
Definitely.
Before. So, whether it's just, you know, motivation, whatever it may be, if there is something to be fixed, though, I have utmost confidence in Coach Olson.
Absolutely.
And the people on that team to get it fixed. Here's the deal. They're up against the clock here. I know they have Hastings up next because that's what the men had. And then I'm pretty sure they have Dak West, and I'm pretty sure they have Briarcliff. Those are no schmucks. Those are good ball clubs.
No, Dakota Wesleyan is, they always give us some trouble.
They give us some trouble. And Briarcliff, if my memory serves me correctly, was floating, sitting pretty around 12 or 13th in the nation.
And I think they beat us last time around as
they
well.
They beat us last time around. And these are three games that if you're going to get to that coveted six seed in the GPAC, which is what you need to make the GPAC tournament, you're looking at three wins.
Oh, so it's only six teams make this tournament?
I believe so, and you're looking at three wins.
Okay, it's crunch time.
It's crunch time, for lack of a better term. Next up, you got Hastings. They're no schmoozes either. Concordia is going to be on the road against Hastings, who is 18-6 on the year and 13-5 in the GPAC. This is these two teams will play 6 p.m. Again, this is Wednesday. This is at Hastings, Nebraska. So it's coming down. It's coming down to the wire. And you got the standings. Is this the GPAC standings?
We are sitting eighth right now.
Eighth right now.
Conference.
Ahead of us being Morningside,
Doan, Northwestern, Hastings, Dakota Wesleyan, Briarcliff, Dort.
So
we have
the
we
two,
have
three, and four teams. Our last three games of the year.
We have 15-3 Briarcliff, 14-4 Dakota Wesleyan, and 13-5 Hastings.
And we need to be six. So what is the? We're in eighth. Who is five? Five is Morningside. What's their record compared to ours? What's Doan's record?
We have 9-9 and 9-9.
So we're tied with Morningside.
We are 8-10. Morningside's 9-9. Doan is 9-9.
I see.
So we're going to need a little bit of help from our friends in the GPAC.
You need to win out.
Do need to win out.
You need to win out if you're...
You can't count on Morningside and Doan both losing all their games.
If you lose a game here, you are adding a lot of variables to this equation that need not be there.
And Doan has a... Oh, we actually have Doan coming up. Yeah. So
do we have Doan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so what's our final schedule?
So we've got...
We have Hastings... Obviously, this Wednesday. And then, if my memory serves me correctly, it is Dak West Saturday. And then I know Briarcliff is in there somewhere at the end of the year.
Yes, so we have Hastings, Dakota Wesleyan, and then we have Doan and Mount Marty. No Briarcliff.
No Briarcliff,
thankfully.
And Mount Marty, okay, I like that matchup. The Doan matchup's a good... It shouldn't be, but I like that matchup. That's a good... Like, they're right there.
And Doan also has to play Dort in here as well. So that's good for us.
That's good for us.
Dort, they also have Midland, though.
Dort being the best team in the conference, obviously.
Yep, and country.
Country everywhere.
Mount Marty is one of those lower teams. They're 4-15. So you'd hope that this would be one of those you could get a win against. I think that's a must-win for sure, and that's on the final day of the year. Doan game is going to be a home game, so will Dakota Wesleyan.
And then Dak West's senior day.
Senior day, yep, this weekend.
So it's not time for a postmortem yet.
No. The
patient is still alive. She hasn't been intubated yet, but it's not looking good. But she's got a strong will. We think she's gonna pull through. We hope she pulls through, but the symptoms are getting worse.
A little bit worse.
So it's not time for a postmortem yet, but like any good doctors, we want to get ahead of our work schedule. And you're going to look back at this season, and there are a lot of winnable games.
Definitely.
You go back to both of the Dort games.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the first Northwestern game where they're hitting a game winner on you in Frederick Arena. You go back to this second Northwestern game where you get doubled up almost in the rebound column. And then you, and then don't get me started on the on the games that you should have won,
right?
Against, you know, kind of bottom. But we're not there yet.
We are not there yet.
We're not at the postmortem yet.
Still all to play for.
It's everything is in front of you.
If we win all the games, there's a very good chance we make it.
I think if you go, so four games left.
Yes.
If you go 4-0, you're in.
Wait, I am seeing something on the GPAC website that is very encouraging.
Lay it on us.
All right. 2024-2025 GPAC basketball.
That's this year.
February 26th is the quarterfinals. March 1st is the semifinals. March 4th is Championship Tuesday. 8 teams, high seed hosts.
Is it 8 teams?
That's what it's saying on the GPAC website.
Okay, because I heard 6.
It is looking like 8 right now, which doesn't put us out clear yet, you know.
I'm still concerned, but yeah, I think at now you want the 6 seed because now we're talking about seeding, and now we're talking about getting home field advantage for some of these games coming up.
But I mean, we're still not, you know, out of the water yet. Eighth place is still in the balance right now.
So okay, let's look at it the other way. Who's below us?
Actually, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We are in 8th. We might be clear. Waldorf is the one right below us.
Oh, okay.
4 and 14.
All right, so they would have to do something pretty nuts.
they
would have to pull off something crazy.
They would have to win out. We would have to lose out.
And then we'd still have the tiebreaker.
And then we'd have the tiebreaker. Okay.
Because that tiebreaker's head-to-head.
So at this point, you don't want to play Dort again, though.
I do.
You want to play Dort again in the first round?
I've got my hand in the air. I want to play... Dude,
First round.
Okay, you know what? Let's go on another field trip. Take a walk with me.
All right.
I think against all these teams that have been at your level, or you would argue we are above their level, mm-hmm. we have had hard times with.
That's fair.
Including a lot of losses. And I think if you're on this road of getting to the GPAC championship and winning the whole thing, you know, at some point, you're going to play Dort.
Yes.
And that's going to be the circle it on your calendar game. I would rather get that out of the way because that is a winnable game. That is an extremely winnable game
against
the number one team in the nation. And then if you get
that's a confidence boost
if you get done playing them in the first round, and who's you know the momentum that gets you?
Because what, then you play probably Hastings in the second round and then Briarcliff in the final?
Yes. Give me Dort.
Yeah?
Give me Dort.
So you're saying we should just do mediocre in these last four games?
Yeah. Okay, I'm fine.
It's a win either way. Either we get a higher seed or we get Dort in the first round.
It's a win either way. And it'd be at Dort, too.
Yeah. All right. The doom and gloom is gone.
I feel better.
There's a lot of light at the end of this tunnel now.
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling cheery on the inside.
You scared for a little bit there.
I was, yeah. Yeah, the darkness.
What are your sources? Who lied to you?
I don't know.
Who lied to the people?
My brain. It confounds things sometimes.
But thankfully, it was confounded, and there are 8 teams in this tournament. So
that's confirmed.
Very confirmed. The GPAC website told me so. So unless the GPAC website is lying, then...
It's either the GPAC website or my recollection.
So take your pick.
It's a tight race.
But...
I'm feeling good. And then, you know, once you get into the tournament, anything happens.
Like Coach Olson said, they still have everything to play for. Every single goal of theirs is still attainable. They can win the GPAC tournament. They could still win nationals. Everything is still to play for.
It's right there. Talking about not being right there, I guess, not as bad transition. There wasn't softball this week.
No, they were not there in Kansas.
They were not there in Oklahoma City.
Weather was bad.
Yeah.
So they stayed here.
Yeah, because softball and baseball can't play in the cold.
No. Wimps. Sorry, what?
They are allergic to the cold.
They can't play cold. They're all from California. They've never seen cold before.
California, yeah. And Texas, some of them. Yeah, now I'm all happy that that we're in the playoffs we're looking like we're going to make a playoff run, and then I'm just going to be unnecessarily mad when I step outside after we press stop on this recording.
Yep, just about 5 minutes, you'll be out in the dark and the cold.
I looked it up today. In feels like negative 10 degree weather, you die in an hour.
Oh.
Dead.
Wow.
You die dead.
Is that like...
That's what Siri said.
Okay, is that if you have like no clothes though?
I don't know. I just asked Siri, how long before I die in negative 10 degree weather?
She said 1 hour.
And she told me an hour, and then I got more mad.
All right, well, we better walk quickly back just to...
Safe to say, I was fuming today.
Yeah. Well, Columbia Heights, thankfully, is not 1 hour away. It's only a couple minutes.
I better not get lost.
So you won't die.
Knock on wood. Well, on that note, that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CU and East Sower website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Albrick and everybody at the CUNE Sower newspaper. That's the first time I've messed an outro up.
Gosh, on like episode 40 or 30.
32. That's the first time I've...
We're not going to re-record this either. This is legit.
And everybody at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs.
Go Dogs.